Okay, Chris, so you are holding a party, a show this weekend for your 40th birthday. When's your birthday? Happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you. My actual birthday is October 23rd, but the fundraiser's on the 21st.
So a fundraiser at Capitol Theater.
That's right.
That is Saturday at 7:30 p.m.
That's right. Yeah, Saturday 21st, 7:30 p.m.
Okay, and so this fundraiser is to raise money for the Peruvian Wisdom Project.
That's right.
I'm sure not all of our listeners know what that is, so can you explain what that is to us?
Sure. Yeah, the Peruvian Wisdom Project is a nonprofit organization operating in Peru, and I had the opportunity to meet the two founders of that project. And right now, they're focused on food security in the high altitude regions of Peru to create community greenhouses, essentially.
So up there, they're living at, from what I was looking at your video that you made earlier for the event, 16,000 feet, you were saying.
Yeah.
There's like almost nothing living up there.
No, it's, I mean, you have some very basic greenery that grows really, just short stuff that the alpacas feed on. But other than that, the only thing that you can grow up there agriculturally is potatoes.
So what got you passionate about this? Why do you want to be involved with the Peruvian Wisdom Project?
It kind of all happened by sheer luck. I went to Peru on a whim when traveling down there, knowing that I might meet up with filmmaker Nathan Benninger, who's from Nelson. And he had been doing a lot of humanitarian work in Peru previously. And so he introduced me to the two founders of the Peruvian Wisdom Project down there. And I really hit it off with them. They invited me to come out and visit these Quechuan people who are extremely isolated, the most isolated tribe in Peru. They're known as the Quero. And that's what kind of got me interested in the project, was just having that experience and meeting those people and seeing how they live their lives.
When did you go on the trip to Peru?
It was 1 year ago. So I was there October of last year.
So in your video, and you said it's cliche, but it is what it is. You said this trip changed your life. What was it about these Quechua people or Peru in general that made such a difference in your life?
Being a mountain boy from the Kootenays, ending up in the Andes and realizing like the vastness of that mountain range, it felt like the edge of the world. And then meeting people that had been living out there for 500 years. The Quechua have been isolated for about 500 years. Their first visitor came in, I think, 1996. They had made contact previously, but they had not allowed an outsider into where they lived in the Pucamaima region. So it was interesting to be there and just observe their lifestyles and see how connected they are in terms of their connection with the environment, with earth. They worship Pachamama, the earth goddess. They worship the mountain. Huamanlipa is where they live. That's the mountain god. And it just really struck a chord with me in terms of what they're doing with their lives is, I think, very special. It's a special existence, and preserving that culture, I think, is pretty important. And food security is a big piece of that.
Yeah, it's not even possible to grasp for someone that lives in, such a modern Western society, right? Like
Yeah.
just to be completely separate up until 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about their history? You said they can only grow potatoes. Like how have they gotten by prior to, say, things like the Peruvian Wisdom Project?
So, I mean, they mainly survive on potatoes 7 days a week. They actually are credited with the invention of freeze drying. So freeze drying
Okay.
is a technique that's been utilized by high altitude Andean Quechuan people for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's where NASA actually got the idea for creating technology that could freeze dry for space, was they were looking at what the Andean natives were doing. The Quechua themselves went into isolation shortly before the Spanish conquest. So the story goes that they're mystics, what they call a Paco. It's like a shaman, but the Pacos are different. They don't use plant medicine, they use ritual.
Okay.
And the Pacos, they said, we need to leave, something's coming. So they left the royal city, Cusco, and they wandered into the mountains, deep, deep into the mountains. And so they have essentially dodged the entire Spanish conquest. The Spaniards never found them. So their culture was untouched by that Spanish influence.
Right. And so the Peruvian Wisdom Project, working on food security, how do they go about doing that?
They've been doing a whole lot of different amazing things for the communities out there. They provide a ton of school supplies and education for the communities. And now that they're moving into this food security project, they are in the building phase of a proof of concept greenhouse right now. And it's a off-grid geothermal air exchange heated greenhouse. So it would have a solar system to power the geothermal fans that bring air from underground and up into the greenhouse. So they've got to dig down about 15 feet with an excavator, lay out these massive pipes, and build this pretty sophisticated design. It's actually a really neat design that Cody and Denise are on there. And so the plan right now, they have a property that they acquired in, I believe it's in the Pucamaima region. It's sort of central to everything they want to serve. And with that property, they're building a proof of concept greenhouse, an education center, a dormitory, and then a little manager's kind of hut, so that basically people will be able to come to that place and learn how to build these greenhouses, how to work them. They'll have a seed bank, and then it spreads out from there. And so over the next 5 years, the plan is to have 20 greenhouses under construction that will serve a lot of regions, and it'll all be community run, and it'll all be free food.
Right, the whole give a man a fish or teach a man to fish idea.
Exactly, right. Exactly.
So I want to hear more about your trip there. You got any cool stories, like things we can learn from the Curio people? Like what have we lost as a modern society that these, you know, ancient tribes still have?
I think ritual. I think ritual is really important. And there's been things in my life that have brought ritual into it that have been really fulfilling. So I spent about 3 days with the Curio and observing how much ritual is in their life and how much importance it plays in terms of, I guess, like faith in a way. Like they offer a lot to the gods, and we did a despacho ceremony with them, and that in a way was, I think, maybe an altering experience. It was something that felt very changing. Like when I came out of there, I just felt different. I thought, man, that was really magical. I don't really quite understand what just happened there. But the Paco, he spent quite a bit of time assembling a mandala of offerings, and everything from grains and foods and things that they don't even have themselves, that they would actually have to leave that area to go get to bring back, just so they could offer it to the gods, which I thought was kind of interesting. So it was just this huge collection of things. We built this beautiful mandala, and then we wrapped it, set intentions, and burned it. And that magic is very old. It's 500 years old at least, right? And so seeing how they integrate that into their lives, it just made me feel like that's a piece that's sort of missing for us, is the ritual and faith in a way, and not faith in the traditional sense that we might associate it with religion, but just, I think, trusting in the invisible, you know? And
okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, things like, you know, different religions, spirituality, oftentimes others will just think, oh, that's not real or that doesn't work. But until you experience something like that, you really have no idea.
Yeah. And I felt that I was really affected by the ceremony. And I went in as a skeptic, and I think it can be kind of interesting and a little bit rattling to go in as a healthy skeptic and come out feeling like something's happened that you don't quite understand.
Yeah, you're questioning yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, seeing their magic was really something, but also just seeing how hardy they are. I mean, they live in a tough, tough environment. They work really hard and physically incredibly strong people for small stature. And it reminded me of like how easy we have it, how much luxury we have, how much choice and selection we have. You know, when you can only eat potatoes 7 days a week, you don't have the burden of choice. You know, you don't have the burden of stressing out about, do I choose this or do I choose that? And I think in a way that there's something to be said for the happiness that they enjoy from a simple life. And it's not that, you know, I want to change anything that's going on with their lives and how they live them. I think that's sometimes the danger. Philanthropy is that people come in and say, oh, well, you should have this technology, or you should have this technology, or you should have these things that so you can live like us. And really, I think what the Peruvian Wisdom Project is trying to do is allow them to take power over their own nutrition so they can be healthier physically and help them preserve their culture in that way.
Let's talk about how you're raising money, though. We talked about it at the start of the show, a show at the Capitol Theater. It's called Strings Attached this Saturday, 7:30 p.m. So, I mean, what's going on? You got two local musicians. Are they locals?
Yeah, so Sean Fisher and Fiona Armstrong are both local artists. Sean is a violinist, Fiona is a cellist. They're both classically trained. They both have a lot of years of music under their belts, and they employ the use of modern technology and that classical training to sort of create a blend of what I would call classically influenced music, but there's a lot of loops and layering using effects pedals and things like that, some Ableton, to like create this really unique sort of dreamy soundscape.
Okay. So, classical skills with a modern twist. Mm-hmm. As some people might think, oh, I don't know if I want to go to a violin show on Saturday night.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it'll be an exciting, cool show.
Yeah. I had Sean play at my barbershop when I first opened. I had a small birthday party. COVID was in effect, so there was like 8 people there or something like that. And I really wanted to hear some live music because we hadn't heard live music in a long time because of the pandemic. So I hired Sean to come and play. And as soon as he started playing, everybody in the room stopped talking. I don't think anybody said a word for a half an hour. And that, to me, really showed what his music can do. Usually when you have somebody playing in the corner at a charcuterie and cocktail event, everyone's talking and it's just background music. Yeah. And it really pulled everybody in. And I think that, when I booked this show, I thought this could be risky because a lot of people will see violin and cello and think maybe like, okay, it's just another classical show. But it's certainly unique in its own way. And I think that it can really take you on a bit of a journey. It's music that makes me feel like I'm traveling.
Okay. Yeah. No, it sounds cool to me. And so how is the money being raised? Are you selling tickets, and where can people go if they want tickets or if they want to donate to the Peruvian Wisdom Project?
We're selling tickets for the event through the Capitol Theater website. I also have an event page on my barbershop page. So if you go to merchantbarber.com, there's a little banner at the top of the site that says you're invited to this this fundraiser. And so you can just click on that. And from there, there's the donate link for the Peruvian Wisdom Project GoFundMe. But even if you go to GoFundMe.com and you search Peruvian Wisdom Project, you can find it on there. So we're raising money with the tickets. I'm going to do a 50-50 draw at the theater and see who wants to get in on that. That's always a good way to just get a little bit extra cash in the bucket. And other than that, a lot of people that can't attend have been just sending me messages and saying, hey, how can I donate? So I send them the link to donate to the GoFundMe. And so far, we've had some people jumping on there and helping out. So it's really nice.
Awesome. Anything else you want to share about the show or the Peruvian Wisdom Project?
I think if people are free and they want to come check it out, please buy a ticket. It is the best way to support not only the Peruvian Wisdom Project, but also these two amazing artists, because they are really worthwhile seeing. And seeing them play together is also a really special opportunity as well, which I haven't seen them play at the same time together. And so I'm really excited for that. And so I encourage people to grab a ticket. They're $32 on the Capitol Theater website, and that includes all taxes and fees. And the theater is allowing us to take our drinks into the theater so we can sit down and have a beer or a wine while we enjoy the show.
Awesome. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, Scott.